Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak and it's great to be back with you again. This week, we are going to look at the mass readings for Palm Sunday. There's a lot we have to go over. We're going to read the entire Passion to you. I'm going to try to get the other readings in. Plus, I want to give you the Give Up Worry for Lent verse for today. So, going to be a busy show. I'm not going to do too much extra talking, but I just want to let you know what a pleasure it is to be with you and how much I appreciate you coming to listen to this program each week. We're just about through Lent. We are now entering into the holiest week of the year. We enter officially into Holy Week with the Mass of Palm Sunday. So we're going to be talking about that, but I think, you know, I don't think I need to add too much to the Passion of Jesus. It speaks for itself. This year, we're going to read Luke's Passion. So every year, it's different depending on the liturgical year. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to try to get it all in. I just ask you to settle in. Now, normally on the program, I direct my opening prayer to God the Father. But since we are focusing on the Passion of Jesus, I think it would be appropriate to speak to Jesus directly today. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start our opening prayer by speaking to Jesus. And how incredible it is to realize that the one who suffered and died for us, the one who made it possible for us to live forever in heaven, he's listening right now and we can speak to him. So I'm going to lead us. Please pray along as we speak to Jesus. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, it's very difficult for any of us to appreciate what you went through for us. It's difficult to appreciate the pain, the agony that you experienced, not to help yourself, but to help us. So Lord, please help us to better appreciate all that you did for us. Help us to better appreciate how much you love us. And let us know what we can do to repay you. I know you don't expect us to be nailed to a cross as you were, but there are sufferings in each of our lives, and I know you would expect us to carry our own particular crosses. Now, we're going to need a lot of help to do that. I know I'm pretty weak, and I need lots of help, so I just ask for the grace to deal with our crosses. And we know that by offering up our suffering and uniting it to your suffering, that we can help you with your mission. And I know it didn't have to be that way, Lord. I know you designed it to be that way. And so for that reason, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to share in your mission. We thank you for the peace that you give us when we let ourselves be led by you. We ask you to help us and our family and friends, anybody who's suffering today. And above all, as we prepare to close out the Lenten season, we pray that this Holy Week will be beneficial to us spiritually, that we will be able to draw even closer to you, that we will be able to break free from the things which keep us apart from you. And Jesus, I ask that you give me the words today. I pray that you give me your Holy Spirit so that I will be able to deliver the message that you would like me to deliver today. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we would be receptive to hearing the message. And we ask these things in your mighty name, Jesus, where you live and reign with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thanks for tuning into the program. Again, my name is Gary Zimak. We are going to try to get everything in today. It's a lot. We're going to start with the Passion, and I'll back up and do the other readings for Palm Sunday. But before I start that, well, the first thing I'm going to do is very quickly direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to find out more about my work, if you want to bring me to your parish to speak, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. For Give Up Worry for Lent, we have been looking at these verses throughout the Lenten season. Today's verse for Palm Sunday from Give Up Worry for Lent is Luke 23:26. As they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. Now, interestingly enough, we're going to be hearing Luke's gospel account of the Passion today. And One of the things, and therefore we will be hearing about Simon of Cyrene, the point I make in Give Up Worry for Lent, and you know, I think the point we can extract from this verse that I just read, the fact that Simon of Cyrene helped Jesus to carry his cross, is if God is asking us to do anything, if he's giving us a difficult mission, we can always count on the fact that he will send help in some way. Now, it's hard to separate the humanity from the divinity of Jesus at times, and it's difficult for our minds to process that. But to look at it in very simple terms, Jesus was given a mission. This is the way our redemption would be achieved, through the crucifixion of our Lord. And because that was the way, he had to somehow in his humanity make it to Calvary. Well, after being scourged and whipped and dealing with all kinds of abuse, he was tired, he was weak, he was, you know, he was struggling to walk. And there was a good chance that he wasn't going to be able to make it physically to be crucified and therefore redeem us on the cross. So if you want to say this, God sent Simon of Cyrene to help Jesus to carry his cross, to do the will of the Father, which is what Jesus said. That's why he was here, to do the will of the Father. So applying that to our own lives, if the Lord is asking us to carry a heavy cross, we can count on a Simon of Cyrene showing up in our lives. And I do believe that. I've had people who have helped me out over the years, and I'm sure you have as well, especially when it's the cross has gotten heavy. So if you are carrying a heavy cross right now and you are in need of help, know that in some way you will have a Simon of Cyrene sent to you. And again, that could be any different number of ways. But know that if you physically can't handle the cross, somehow God will provide. I believe that, and I think that's what we can learn from this appearance of Simon in the gospel. All right, let's go to the gospel, and this is the Passion according to Luke. It begins in Luke chapter 22, verse 14, and it is lengthy, so I'm going to just try to read it without a lot of commentary, and let's really ask the Holy Spirit, as I did already at the beginning of the show, to make this come alive to us, to really let our hearts be open to this message, the Passion of Jesus. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which will be given up for you. Do this in memory of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of the one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. He said to him, Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and die with you. But he replied, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you know me. He said to them, when I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything? No, nothing, they replied. He said to them, but now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment. Then they said, look, Lord, look, there are two swords here. But he replied, it is enough. Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not undergo the test. After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done. And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently, that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not undergo the test. While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply, stop, no more of this. Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come to him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness. After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said, this man too was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. Short while later, someone else saw him and said, you too are one of them. But Peter answered, my friend, I am not. About an hour later, still another insisted, assuredly this man too was with him, for he is also a Galilean. But Peter said, my friend, I do not know what you are talking about. Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he replied to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied to them, you say that I am. Then they said, what further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth. Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, we found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, the king. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He said to him in reply, you say so. Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds. I find this man not guilty, but they were adamant and said, he is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea. from Galilee, where he began even to hear. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes, meanwhile, stood by, accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him. Nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore I shall have him flogged and then release him." But altogether they shouted out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Again Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate addressed them a third time, "What evil has this man done? I find him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore I shall have him flogged and then release him." With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released a man who had been in prison for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who had mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children, for indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore the breasts that and the breast that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, "This man was innocent beyond doubt." When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to the plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb, in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee, who with him and followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So there you go. There you go. That's a very powerful account of what happened to Jesus on Good Friday. I'm not going to add anything because I think that story speaks for itself. What I am going to do, however, is back up here and read the other readings. The first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the second reading. They're relatively short, but they really, you'll see the connection between these readings I'm about to read and the Passion. First reading is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 7. "The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I may know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear, that I may hear. And I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame." Obviously a reference to Jesus. He was completely in control. He was willingly allowing himself to be put to death so that you and I can live. I mean, that's what really happened there. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 22, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me? All who see me scoff at me. They mock me with parted lips. They wag their heads. He relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he loves him. Indeed, many dogs surround me. A pack of evildoers closes in upon me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They divide my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me. I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. My God, why have you abandoned me?" One of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. My God, why have you abandoned me? This 22nd Psalm, you know, Jesus allowed himself to take on all of our sins and experience that abandonment on the cross, because that's the way it had to be. You and I are going to look at that and say, why? That doesn't make sense. Well, to us it might not. But God has his ways. We're not going to ever be able to understand them all. And one thing I can point out, the horror that took place on that cross illustrates how grave sin is. Sin's no joking matter. It's serious business, and it cost Jesus incredible pain. All of our sins, and he did it because he loved us. Let's look at the second reading, Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. "Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, found human in appearance. He humbled himself becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when we look at this second reading, we get a glimpse of the humility of Jesus. You know, he willingly took on human flesh because that's what was necessary to redeem us, to repair that damage caused by original sin and by each one of our sins. And that's what Jesus had to do. So the lesson for all of us, I think, is one of humility and obedience. Humility in not trying to always prove we're better than somebody else, not trying to pretend we're better than we are, you know, whether we're trying to convince ourselves or somebody else, recognizing who we are and our weaknesses. And the importance of doing the Father's will. We're called to imitate Jesus. As Christians, that's what, and hopefully during this Lenten season, you and I have become a little more Christ-like, because that's what the goal was when we set out. We still have a week to go. And again, as I said at the start of the program, this is an intense week. This is the holiest week of the year. So I encourage you to really embrace what's going on during Holy Week. If you can get to Mass throughout the week, and then Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, then the Good Friday service, and then Holy Saturday we wait, and then possibly get to the Easter Vigil, or certainly at least Mass on Easter Sunday. It's a lot going to happen. We're going to experience a crucifixion this week. We're also going to experience a resurrection a few days after that. Hang in there. Don't lose hope, because one day we're going to move past Calvary and be able to live in heaven with Jesus. That's the goal. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. God willing, we'll talk to you next week.